We are in the midst of a sermon series that I've titled Membership Has Its Privileges. Some of you will remember the old credit card commercial that said that. And we've been talking about the membership vows that you just watched these young people take, the membership vows of our church. And our scripture today comes to us from Mark chapter 10. I'll be reading from verses 35 to 45. If you have your Bible today, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. Because what we're going to talk about today is the membership vow that says we will serve the church with our service. With our service. And we're going to listen to a story about Jesus teaching about how we are to serve others. Thank you very much. Thank you for serving me right before I preach on serving. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request? Jesus asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one of us on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must first be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the awesome event of baptism and confirmation that we have just witnessed. And we thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved in our service thus far. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in these next few minutes. Lord, I pray that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we'd ask that you open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than just information, but indeed they might be words of transformation. And that your word might be transforming to us, and we might leave this place today transformed to go out and serve you and your people. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray together this morning, saying amen. Well, years ago, I just graduated from college, and I was a newly minted Kroger assistant store manager. And for 17 years, I worked for the Kroger company, the grocery chain. And one of the things that I quickly learned as I moved up in the ranks at Kroger was sometimes it's not what you know, it really is who you know. And one of the things that we all began to realize very quickly, that if you wanted to be promoted, the best way to be promoted was for somebody that you knew very well to be promoted to a higher job, and then they could promote you. And unfortunately, I was never really very good at that political game and doing that. And it became almost like the Kentucky Derby or some racehorse. You tried to figure out who might move up next, and how you might get close to them so that when they were promoted, you might get promoted too. And after I read you the gospel lesson from today, you know, we find out that that's not only what happens in our world today, but it was also true in the day of Jesus. People wanted to get power, position, and authority, and they thought that the best way to do it was to use that old saying, was to ride on the coattails of somebody who had it. You know, you got to feel a little sorry for James and John in this story, two of the disciples of Jesus, because they do what I often do. They don't put one toe of their foot in their mouth. They put their foot, their ankle, all the way up to their knee in their mouth. And what they decide to do is that they're going to come to Jesus and they're going to say, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, and Jesus kept talking over and over about his coming kingdom, we want to sit at your left and your right. Well, in the kingdoms of those days, the person who sat at the left of the king and the right of the king were number one and number two in the kingdom. And so what James and John were asking for, they said, you know, we want to be number one and number two. And we're coming to you and asking for this. Now, some of you will be familiar with this story because in the Gospel of Matthew, this story is also told in chapter 20, except instead of James and John asking Jesus themselves, they get their mother to go to Jesus and say, hey, when your kingdom comes in, can you do me a favor? And there is some thought among scholars that actually James and John's mother might be the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus, so it might have been Jesus' aunt who was making this request. But Jesus says, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you have any idea what I'm about to go through? Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Can you be baptized with this cup of suffering? And it's interesting to me because James and John, all they want to do is know that they're number one and number two. And they're like, yeah, sure. We'll do whatever it takes to get there because that's where we know we need to be. And you can almost hear the resignation and the sadness coming through in this story, can't you, in Jesus' voice when he says, oh, you're going to be baptized with my baptism, and you're going to drink from the same cup of suffering that I'm going to drink from, but I don't have the ability to give you what you're asking for. Only God can do that. Well, as the story goes on, the other 10 disciples, there were 12 of them, the other 10 get really upset, and really I think the main reason they were upset is they didn't think of it first. You know, I can see them now going, you know, James and John, they're always doing that. Why didn't I think of that? So they're kind of indignant. They're kind of upset with the others. And Jesus has something very interesting to say about this whole turn of events. Jesus says, you know, the rulers of this world lord it over the people. And people who are in authority abuse their power. And don't you see that? You know, don't we see that in our world? We see that even today, that sometimes when people have power, when they have authority, what they want to do more than anything is lord it over you. And if you don't believe me, I had to have my driver's license renewed this year. When you go down to the Department of Safety, tell me after you've had that experience that they don't lord it over you a little bit when they make you jump through these hoops and wait in line to do what they do. But Jesus said, you know, in my kingdom, it's not that way. Because in my kingdom, the people that lead are going to be servants first. And then Jesus says something very remarkable. I mean, this just strikes me as very remarkable when Jesus says this. Jesus said, because I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And that is how you lead in my kingdom. It is about being a servant. Well, we're talking today, of course, about the membership vows, which you just heard the young people take, that they would support the church with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, which is what we're talking about today. And it's interesting to me because sometimes in our culture, and I think this is a cultural thing for all of us, what we expect from institutions such as the church, what we expect from the institutions in our lives, whether they be the schools, whether they be businesses, whatever it is, we expect those things to serve us. And by gum, they better serve us well, or we'll find someplace else. And a lot of times, we come to the church and we expect the church to serve us. We expect the pastors, the clergy in the church to serve us. We expect the people in the church to serve us. And if they don't serve us, then we say, well, you know what? I'm going to find someplace else that, you know, that will take care of my needs. I wish this were only a problem that occurred among church members, but I see it, unfortunately, a lot among pastors. I have the opportunity at times to work with new pastors and young pastors coming into the system. And sometimes what I have to say to new pastors is, remember, you're serving the church does not serve you. And of course, every time I do that, God, in his ultimate sense of humor, says, I hope you heard what you just said, Potts. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. And so one of the things that we're asked to do is we're asked to be servants and to serve each other. And I think this is a very important thing for us to see. Our church and every other church that exists on this planet would not exist with their clergy alone, their ministers alone. They would not exist. There are people who serve the church in a variety of ways, all the way from, you know, making sure that the bulletins get folded, to making sure that the screen announcements are up where they need to be, to serving in the nursery, to serving it as Sunday school teachers, to serving as helpers. And really, when it comes to serving in the church, there is no hierarchy. You know, it's a shame. Sometimes in the church, we find ourselves drawn to a position in the church because it seems to have a title and it has some authority to it. I can remember when I was growing up in the United Methodist Church years ago, one of the things that would happen every year is that if you had perfect attendance at Sunday school, they would give you a little pin. Some of you remember this. They gave you a little pin. And then every year they attached another pin to it. And I forget, I was probably 14 or 15, and I was sitting with this friend of mine, and it was time for the annual presentation. Or this guy comes up that I'd never seen before. I'd never seen him worship. I'd never seen him around, but he comes up and he's wearing a suit. And I'm telling y'all, his pins went all the way down to his knee. And so I asked my friend, I said, well, what's that all about? And he said, oh, they give you a little pin when you have perfect attendance in Sunday school. And he said, but my mom says that guy never comes to worship. He never does anything else in the church, but he comes to Sunday school all the time. And I thought to myself, well, that's an odd thing, isn't it? Is he coming to Sunday school to learn, or did he come to Sunday school because, you know, pretty soon you've got, it looks like, war veterans and medals and stuff. And so we've got to understand that the reason that we serve is because Jesus gave us the example of somebody who serves, and we are to follow Jesus's example. And that's why we're to serve each other, and that's why we're to serve the church. You know, in our culture, I don't know if you pay attention to what's going on in the media, but the church in general, I'm not talking about just Rehoboth or the United Methodist Church in particular, but I'm talking about all churches, we don't have a very good reputation anymore. Have you noticed this? That we don't get very good press? And sometimes I think that the reason is that we've lost the understanding that we are supposed to be servants. Not just servants to the world at large, but servants to each other. Because, you know, I think sometimes people come and they look at the church and they say, well, all you guys want is more and more power. You want more and more authority. You want more and more people to come in so you have more people to, in Jesus' words, lord it over. One of the very first churches that I served as a pastor, there were about 20 people in the church. And the church had been declining steadily for some time, which was a perfect place for me to go, I guess, because I guess they thought I couldn't mess it up. You can't mess this one up. But I never forget, there was this wonderful woman there. She was the matriarch of the church. Her name was Minnie Bell Driver. And I loved her to death. But anytime somebody new came into the church, this is how she would greet them. She would walk up to them. She would grab their hand. And she would say, oh, I am so glad that you're at our church today, honey. Will you stay and join? Because if you don't, they're going to close our doors. And you know, she was honest about what she was saying, but there's not a lot of people that come into church that want to stay just so the doors don't close. But I think sometimes we in the church, we have to be careful because we don't realize, we forget that the world is looking at us. And when we argue over silly things, and you know, when there are things that happen in the church that even the most seasoned of us, those who've been in the church for a long time, look at it and go, well, that was absolutely ridiculous. What we forget is that we have said to the world so much, do this or don't do that. That's what we've said a lot to the world. We say, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you do this and you don't do that. And a lot of times, unfortunately, what we have done is the exact opposite of that. You know, sometimes the people in the church, we have done the things we shouldn't have done, and we haven't done the things that we should have done. And the world has looked at this and said, you know what? You guys got to be kidding. I don't want to be a part of that. So what I think that when we start to really understand this idea of service, what will happen to us is this, is first of all, we got to shut up. I mean, we do. Because I think that, as the old saying goes, sometimes what you're doing speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying. And we have acted like the world is really interested in what we're saying when the world is going, I want to know what you're doing. I want to know what you're doing. And the great thing is when we begin to create this culture of service, when we begin to understand and take seriously our own vows to serve each other, to serve the church, and to serve the world, then all of a sudden, the people who are looking at the church get a different message. Because you see, there's a lot of people in our culture running around, and I encounter them a lot, and I used to be one who were part of the church at one time, and then somebody said something really foolish and hurtful to them, and they kind of go, really? That's what church is about? I don't want any more of this. Forget this. And I was in that club for a long time. And I think that one of the things that we need to understand is that when we serve each other, when the world looks at us, and people look at us and they say, wow, these people serve each other, and it's not this kind of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's not because I'm serving you because of what I can get from you. I'm just serving you because that's the way Jesus was. That's what Jesus taught me to do. And that's the only reason I'm serving you. Folks, if we started to do that, it would be a lot different. Our reputation in the world would be a lot different as a church if we lived into this membership vow and we began to serve. Mary Noble and I have had this experience many, many times that we've been involved with a person whom we're serving, and the church is serving, and they're reaching out to somebody. And there's usually a family member somewhere close by or a friend who will say something like this to us. You know, I never, ever saw a group of people rally around somebody and help somebody like you people have. And if I had had this experience, if I could find a church like this, I'd join it today. You see, that's what they're looking for, and they're wanting to know what is our real motive. And too often, whether we're like my blessed old friend, Minnie Bell Driver, and we say, oh, gosh, we're so glad you came to the church. If we say that because, hey, maybe you'll put some money in the plate. We need more people here. Maybe it'll keep the doors open. Sometimes we don't say that outwardly, but that's how we think. When instead we ought to be saying to each other and to the people in the world, how can we serve you? How can we serve you? What can we do to serve you? And how can we reach out in service? John F. Kennedy had this famous saying in a speech of his way back in the early days of his presidency. And he said, ask not what your country can do, but ask what you can do for your country. Because there were a lot of people that looked at the government and said, you know, what can you do for me? And honestly, sometimes, y'all, I think that that's what we need to say to ourselves as church folk. We need to say, ask not what the church can do for me, but let me see what I need to do for the church. Let me see how I need to serve. What can I do to serve? And honestly, when we become those people that Jesus ask us to be, when we start to follow Jesus in that manner, then there will be people pouring into the doors of every church, because you don't find that in the world. You can't find it. You can't find it anywhere else because of what we've already identified. It's all about, well, I'll help you if you can help me later. How can I attach onto your coattails? How can you benefit me in some way? And we begin to serve with a heart that says, I'm serving because Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and that's what I'm called to do. When we start to serve in that manner, everything becomes different, and everything will change for us. And I think if we would live into this vow, we would find out what we talked about last week. Last week, our scripture came from Acts, and it was a verse where Jesus had been quoted as saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think it's probably appropriate to say, in light of today's scripture, it is more blessed to serve than to be served. And that's the fascinating thing to me about giving. It never fails that somebody who's never been involved in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, a mission trip, in any form of service. We go once a month here at our church to feed the homeless in Nashville. It never fails when somebody has that experience for the first time, because what they do is they go out and they say, man, I'm going to go out and I'm going to bless these people. They're going to be blessed because of what I'm about to do. And to a person, when people come back, they say, wow, I thought I was going to go out and bless these people. Man, I was the one who received the blessing. I was the one who received the blessing. And to me, that's the great paradox, if you will, of our Christian faith and our Christian service, that it's really, really true what Jesus said. The more that we give, the more that we receive. And the more that we serve rather than want to be served, the more we will be blessed. So it's not a complicated message today for us. It's a message that's pretty easy to understand. It's time to think about what we can do for others and kind of put aside this idea of what can others do for us. And y'all, a lot of you in here know me well, and I love nothing better than to be served. I love nothing better than to walk in. You know, I like that old 50s image of how the men walked in from work and they dropped their briefcase down and, you know, the wife put on their slippers and all of that. But you know what? Jesus was not that person. Jesus was never that person. He never expected somebody to serve him. He never expected somebody to wait on him hand and foot. And what he teaches us to do is that we are to serve even as he served. And in that beautiful scripture that I read to you earlier, he says, you know, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. So may we go forth today. May we be people of service. May we be people who believe that there is more to giving ourselves away. There is more to serving others than meets the eye. Because when we do, I promise you, the world will notice. And the world will say, all of a sudden, people will start to pay attention and they'll go, man, there must be something to this because these people served me and they didn't want anything for it. They didn't ask me for any money. They didn't ask me to come and join their church. They didn't ask me to come and do anything for them. They just served me. Are you ready for this? They just served me because they loved me. Because they loved me. One of the greatest expressions that we can give of our love, our Christ-like love for other people, is to serve them. Whether we serve each other in the church, or we serve outside, or we serve in our families, it really doesn't matter, I think, as long as we are people of service. So may we hear Jesus' clarion call today. It's very clear that we are not to be served, but we are to serve, and that's how we can best follow him and how best we can keep that membership vow. And we will find out, if we do this, that it really is a privilege. It's not an obligation, but it's a privilege to serve. Amen.